Luke chapter 12, verse number 13 is where we will begin reading. Luke 12, 13, if you got it, say praise the Lord. That was a good praise the Lord. More of you got your Bibles tonight. Bible reads, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." Can you see the pitifulness in that man's voice? "Speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And so from verse 15, take heed, beware of covetousness. A man's life consists not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And so I really don't have a good title for tonight. I just want to kind of talk to you what I felt the Lord kind of directed me for a little bit for tonight. And what I don't want to have happen is to have a service that just kind of falls flat because we're tired or stuck in a rut or whatever. So if we will, before we're seated, can we pray one more time and ask God to help us tonight, that the Holy Ghost would step in this house? Oh, come on, someone, be hungry for the Spirit of God to step in this place, for the Word of God to come alive. Jesus, we need you, Lord. Oh, that sounds good. Jesus, we need you, Lord, to talk to us through your Word tonight, God. Whether deep, God, or simple, we need the Word to touch us. We need your Spirit to help us. We need your goodness to move and work and have your way, oh God. We can't afford to just go through the motions. Oh, precious Lord, we need you, we need you, we need you. We need you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I guess maybe it has to do with the fact that we just came off of Christmas yesterday, and I began to think a little here and there about how, as a kid growing up, that it seemed as if your self-worth could very well be easily changed in your own mind based upon if you got that special toy, that special gadget or gizmo, a pair of shoes. Maybe pairs of shoes, ladies. Maybe that special thing you had your eye on. Maybe I'm the only one that went through that stage. I'm kind of believing tonight there's some that are still in that stage. That somehow in going through life we've allowed, maybe it's just the American dream, so to speak, that's caught us blindsided, that makes us think that because I don't have this or that I am hurt or I am less than my friend because they've got it. This isn't necessarily something that's subject to age. It can run with you forever. It's the old phrase of keeping up with the Joneses. Keeping up with the Joneses. They got new tile floors. It means I got to get new tile floors. Yeah, but Brother Jones will tell you he's got a bad leg and bad back because of it. So, if you want a bad leg and bad back, then you just go get yourself some tile floors. He ain't paying someone to do it. He's doing it himself. My wife, put your hand down over there. She's wanting some tile floors, and she knows a guy that can do it. And so it's just one of them deals. But whether you got good floors in your house or not, it doesn't make you any better. Now, if your floors are dirty, now that is not in my notes. But we may need to stop and talk about that a little bit. Because in all the things that we do get, that God blesses us with, that God either allows us to purchase on our own, or maybe someone is extra nice and they give you something. Maybe you are a good boy and a good girl this year, and you are visited by a gift giver, and they gave you something. That because we are to be wise stewards of what God gave us, you need to take good care of the things you do have. It may not be very nice in the eyes of somebody else, but you need to be thankful that you have it. And a lot of times you show thankfulness on how well you take care of something. And so keep what you do have clean. Keep what you do have in good shape. That's why the church house ought to always look good and always look nice. And I know there's some things around here that need some improvement. And the help of the Lord, we're going to get them improved. But there ought to be something inside that's not an earthly pride, but it's a thankful pride. And that God saw fit to give this to me. I'm going to take care of it until I have better, or until it just breaks altogether and I have to get rid of it. And I don't know really where all that come from. Maybe it's just something eating on me because I can't. Maybe it's a personal pet peeve. Forgive me tonight. I'm just confessing here that when people have something that is nice and over the course of time it begins to become junkified. Is that a word? That it didn't have any reason to become junkified. For many years I remodeled and worked on things, and a man's ability to make money determined on the kind of tools that he had and the condition of tools that he had and how long you can keep those tools being nice. And I had a guy work for me, loved him to death, but bless his heart, that man could beat up a rubber mount with a steel wedge. He was just rough on equipment, and when it was all said and done, it was time for me to kind of just move on. I just wound up giving the man a lot of that stuff. It's like, I don't want it no more. I'm going to go buy good things again now that we've parted ways, and I'm going to keep my good things good. And so if you ever hear, this is just free advice tonight, that if you ever borrow something from somebody, give it back better than what you got it. And you know what? That'll make people want to let you borrow things. Because you get something from somebody and it's wore out and it's dirty and you return it and it's working better than it did before and it's clean. They're just going to bring things to you next week. And say, here, would you borrow this, please? I don't need this. Just borrow it for a week, please. That'll open doors up to you in ways that you just won't ever understand. And this whole idea of taking care of things, it really is centered upon the fact that you are thankful. And we need a good dose of thankfulness in the end of 2018, going into the first of this next year, to be thankful that just for nothing else, that I'm still in the church. I want to be thankful that I'm still alive. I want to be thankful that I go to a church that's not down and out and poor and dragging all along and it's propped up here and but there's a spirit of revival and expectation that I still believe prayer works and that praise unlocks the door. I still believe that when I give, God pays attention. What we feel right now, that's something to just stop and give God thanks for. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for soft chairs to sit on. When a preacher gets too long-winded, I got soft chairs to sit on. And of course, a little-known secret, a way to make a preacher stop preaching is just to have a Holy Ghost blowout. Unless he don't know when he should quit. But thank, we got air conditioning and we got heat and we got nice new carpet. And thanks to all you good folks that have given toward all of this, we've got nice things. Thank you, Jesus. And the city grew our direction. And now we're in the middle of it all. We're not on the edge. And the city went that way. And there's cow pastures around us. And you open the door and you take a step out and you smell farm stuff. People want to run into the house of God and hold their breath. Some of y'all need to do a little bit of traveling and find out just how nice we really got it. Our roads are paved and we live in a place that's safe. And oh, God's been good to us. I'm thankful to be an American, and I'm thankful to live in Oklahoma. Let the people in California do what they're going to do, and the people on the East Coast do what they're going to do, but thank God I'm in flyover country. Were you, I heard people talking this morning about God, and it felt so good to hear these men talk about God. A few weeks ago, I heard some men that looked like they escaped out of prison. They were talking about God. And I'm thank you, Jesus, they're talking about you. They may not understand you like they need to, but there's something inside of them that says, thank you, Jesus. Didn't have to plug my ears because they were cussing and talking about stuff. I've been in them type of environments. I'm just thankful of where we're at and what God is doing. And this attitude of thankfulness, it's a beautiful thing because you may not have two nickels to rub together, but you can be thankful about that one nickel you do have and make the guy with the pocket full of nickels jealous about the nickel you got. Well, glory, hallelujah. So you got this guy, Jesus has been talking and he's been giving some very profound things and he has been going through it with the scribes and Pharisees. And one of the company, he said unto him, Master, speak to my brother. I mean, Lord, if anybody ought to get it done. I mean, you heal the sick. You open the blinded eyes. I mean, you know where to go fishing to find coins in fish's mouth and pay taxes. Anybody ever tried that one before? Yeah, it really don't work today because there's reasons why, but it would work if God said to go do it. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus, you can do anything. And so why don't you go talk to my brother? I mean, if he's going to listen to anybody, he's going to listen to the one that can raise the dead. Speak to him and tell him, I want half of that. The inheritance was something that you got because you were the firstborn. The firstborn son got the inheritance. The Hebrew phrase is the whole kit and caboodle. They got it all. And the second and the third and the fourth, they just kind of got like these blessing token gifts. But the firstborn son, they got the farm and the key to the farm. They got it all. And you had to be the firstborn. You know, there's nothing you can do to be the firstborn. You just are because God said you're going to be the firstborn. And this secondborn, the thirdborn, whoever he is, he wants his brother to violate the wishes of his father. Make him give me half of dad's stuff. Thinking that if I get that half, I'll have it made. I'll be set. He was living his life based on a false narrative that I am not as good as I could be because I don't have what somebody else has. It's the whole junk of socialism that I've got some and you're supposed to have some and you're supposed to have. Why don't you get up and go work for it? Well, bunch of capitalists clapping your hands. you gotta, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, there is people that are growing up in this world that think it is material things that you can get that'll make you worth more. It will not make you worth more if you have more shoes. Ain't nothing wrong with having more than one pair of shoes. And if all you can afford is one pair, keep them looking good as long as you can. But if you think that if you need this name brand or that name brand to become something more, hell has lied to you. Because it ain't about what you got. It's about whose you are. Ain't nothing wrong with having nice things. If you can afford it, God bless you. But don't get caught up in the rat race of I don't have, or I never will get, or this or that or the other, and be poor, pitiful me. I wish God would move on them and tell them to give me their stuff. Begin to pray and fast and travail that things be added unto you. But Jesus was clear and said, seek you first in the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. I'm not saying if you pray and fast till your belly button falls off, you'll wake up a millionaire one day. But the things that you need, He will supply those things. And I'm just dumb enough to believe this, that there's times that God keeps things from us because He knows we can't handle those things. Any of you that got your kid a BB gun for Christmas and he's still in diapers, you need your head examined. The verse of Scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him pray. And God will give to you liberally. Don't buy it, don't buy it, don't buy it, don't buy it. And anyway, you can't add to your self-worth by possessing things. And you can't take away from your self-worth by losing things. My value is based upon the fact that I'm a child of God. I've been brought out of darkness. Hallelujah. He's put my feet on straight street. Hallelujah. That I should show forth the praises of Him who has called me out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That I should show forth the praises. Not that I should petition heaven and say, God, give me more. That I should desire to know Him and have Him. But do understand this tonight, that the one thing that can add or take away from you is how spiritual or unspiritual you are. Maybe the better way to say it is how spiritual or how carnal you are. If you ever start feeling bad about yourself and you don't think you're worth very much, I challenge you to bury your face in the carpet until you begin to feel the joy of the Lord pour back through in your soul. If you ever feel empty and void, I challenge you to get your face in the book. Get it off of Facebook and get your face in the book and start reading rich scripture that tells you about the love of God, the joy of God. It tells you about the things that are waiting on us on the other side. Hallelujah. You can't read the Word of God very long until that frown is turned upside down. And it puts a smile on your face. Anybody honest enough tonight to say, I've showed up to church before and wished I wasn't here, and by the time it was all over and done, I'm glad I came. Sometimes we're blessed just because we live for God on obligation. Ain't the way you're supposed to live for Him. But sometimes He goes ahead and blesses us just because we did what we were supposed to. He honors your faith. He honors your effort. He didn't do it because you had a good attitude. Oh, that ought to make you shout. Because He didn't bring judgment on you because of bad attitude either. He just patted you on the head and said, I understand you're having a bad day. But one of these days you won't have no more bad days. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. It's going to be all right. Keep the faith. Hold on till Wednesday night. Hold on till tomorrow, because joy is coming in the morning. I know tonight is tough, but if you'll just keep walking with God. Oh, someone can say the right thing at the right time. You can be wondering, how am I going to make it? And you didn't know it, but a couple weeks back, the boss had a promotion coming your way. Hallelujah, fighting and struggling with something. You didn't know it, but the doctor had a good report to give you. Hallelujah, fighting and struggling. You didn't know it, but the mother-in-law thought about moving out a long time ago. Woo! Luke 12:15. In the CSB, this is a Christian Standard Bible. He then told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. New Living Translation says, then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. This world likes to get caught up in who's got what. Even has the old phrase, it says, he that dies with the most toys wins. No, he still dies. And all of his toys become somebody else. They become somebody else's stuff. Hearses don't fall, or U-Hauls don't follow hearses. If they did, it wouldn't do you no good. It's a sad day for the Pharaohs to finally realize that all that effort and that desire to try to take riches with me into an afterlife, if they somehow were right with God, the thing they hope to hold in their hands, they have to walk on under their feet. What God wants us to do is to quit trying to shove our pockets full of it and get it under our feet. Because if you can get it under your feet here, it'll be under your feet there forever. And gold won't have potholes. And so, don't try to die with the most toys. Try to live with the most Jesus. This birth order thing was quite the interesting deal, because it was something established for several thousand years that the firstborn got the stuff. And this man, he's wanting Jesus to pull a few strings, to put the pressure, to bring conviction. Anybody ever been in the service before and you begin to pray for your neighbor? Get them, God. They're here tonight. Get them, Jesus. And the preacher preaches about something you know they're dealing with. They never run aisles in your life, and that night you're twirling and dancing around. And dance real close to them. Woo! Hear it! Hear it! Hear it! And the sad thing is, they really don't have that problem. You just think they do. Kind of like that verse where it says, don't try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye when you have a beam in your own. Sometimes the speck that's in your neighbor's eyes because of the lumber truck you've been driving around in your eye got lost and loose, and some of it got in theirs. Well, glory, hallelujah. Younger brother, bless his heart. He's jealous. He's jealous of what he doesn't have. He's talking to Jesus. He's talking to the manifest presence of God Almighty. And he's worried about junk. You didn't hear it. He's having conversation with the Creator. And he's worried about stuff that's going to burn up one of these days anyways. He got his eyes on the temporary, and he's got an audience with the eternal. If we would get our focus back on the things that really matter, we'd stop worrying about the stuff that we don't have, and we'd be so excited about what we do have. We've got what the world can't buy. We've got Jesus. And we've got, hallelujah, what we've got because He paid for us. He purchased us with His own blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I read a little poem the other day. It says, "Forgive me when I whine." W-H-I-N-E, not W-I-N-E. "Forgive me when I whine." It says, "Today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy. And how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. But as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine." And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, "It's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find." He turned and said, "Oh, thank you, sir." And then I saw that he was blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word. And then I knew he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. We've got a lot to be thankful for tonight. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks when you lose things. Give thanks when you get things. Give thanks when things break, and get thanks when things are fixed. Give thanks here. Give thanks there. You should give thanks everywhere. You like that little poem? I just made that up. Give thanks here and give thanks there. Give thanks everywhere. Because every good and precious gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, God delights to give to His people. And the more we are thankful for it, the more I believe He bestows it upon us. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Jonah, he's swallowed by a great fish and he's running from God, and this great fish has been sent by God to keep him from dying because Jonah was trying to commit suicide by bailing out the boat. He was. He didn't think he was going to swim all the way back to shore. He was a prophet, not a swimmer. He was trying to end it all. He was running from God. He wasn't going to start swimming back toward God. He was trying to end it all. Throw me overboard. And this fish comes along and goes, "Not so fast, Bubba. I ain't through with you yet." And it's while he's in this belly of this fish, he says that he is in the depths of hell, that when he begins to cry out with sacrifice and a voice of thanksgiving, that then the fish threw him up. You know, there's some things that we go through in life that if we'll just start giving God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I am pressured. I am in a smelly mess. It's dark. It's dismal. I don't have anything to be thankful for. That's when it stings the devil the most. And you begin to thank God in spite of what you don't have. And God takes you from being on the bottom down the middle of nothing and spits you out right in the middle of where you're supposed to be. I'm telling you, when you get to where you're supposed to be, when you get into the will of God, when you can thank Him for what you don't have, you're going to be able to really thank Him for when you do have. And when you finally arrive. Hallelujah, Jesus. Psalms 119:62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Someone say, at midnight. If the rest of your family is asleep, you might want to give thanks quietly. Otherwise, you may have a shoe thrown your direction. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Psalms 136:1. In fact, really the whole chapter is going to end with, "For his mercy endureth forever." But the first three verses and the last verse say this: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 26, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." You say, "Oh, that's so lame. Couldn't he think about anything else to write about?" Hey, if God wants an entire chapter filled with giving him thanks, he is worthy of the thanks you'd give. And when you get done with it, he deserves more. Because he's been better to me than I... He's been better to me than I deserve. He's been better to me than I deserve. He has blessed me with exceeding great precious promises. Thank God for a good Christmas. Thank God for a good haul, young people. You use that kind of language? "Man, I had a good haul this time." You don't use that? Must be something new and fresh, cutting edge. Or it's 50 years old. "I got myself a good haul." This time's coming back from in-law's house, and it's a good thing we had a big car. It's a good thing we had a big car because mother-in-law got into the buying mode and she bought everything under the sun. She bought everything. We had a back card filled with stuff. I'm using the word stuff very nicely. Stuff. And Alex can't play with all of that stuff. And Alex didn't want most of that stuff. She was thankful for it, but it's just like, "Mimi, what's your problem? I have no idea where I was going with that story." Thank you for that support, brother. I appreciate that. Well, glory. Musicians, come help us. Some of you are worried. You think, "Well, he's lost it." Touch him, Lord. He just lost it. "Oh, I lost it a long time ago. I've just been covering up real good." Psalms 95:2. Tonight's a good night for some of y'all, because laughter doeth good like a medicine. And I like to laugh. Yea, I say I love to laugh. But I want God to show up. And I want the move of the Spirit to work and to have its way. And I want the Holy Ghost to begin to pour and flow. And sometimes God knows how to use laughter to get you set up. And the next thing you know, it just comes and attacks you by surprise. Laughing, all of a sudden the preacher hits you with the left jab and an uppercut. You laid out on the floor. What just happened? It's because you quit doing an imitation of a statue. And God could walk in the middle of your world and start talking to you about just be thankful. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. God, help us if we ever start singing them sad, old, dreary songs that make people cry because they want the music to stop, not because Jesus is touching them. If you come in with thanksgiving, if you come in with praise, if you come in excited about the fact that you've been buried in the only saving name of Jesus, it doesn't matter how slow the song is, ladies and gentlemen, because there's something contagious about a thankful heart. That as you begin to pour out praise unto Him, it gets on your neighbor, and it gets on the next row and the next pew and the next section. And the next thing you know, what was going to be a dry, dead, cold church service. There's an atmosphere of thanks that people begin to realize, hey, we are rich toward God. I may not have a big barn, and that barn may not be full of a lot of stuff, but I am rich toward God. He knows me, and I know Him. And His banner over me is love. That standard, that banner, that name that's broadcast across it all is love. And I can be thankful back to Him because of that love. Stand with me tonight. Psalms 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. With rejoicing. It's not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. A world is chasing happiness and it's fleeting from them because they're not thankful. If you'll just be thankful, it'll change your perspective. You'll stop caring if the glass is half full or half empty. You'll just be glad you got a glass and something's in it. He's been good to me.